we practiced two or three songs this morning, and we never did get any of them right. We were probably won't get this one too awful right either. But you know what? I'd rather try for the Lord than not try. And if you want to close your ears, that's okay. But we're going to try this song, and we have been in a while since we sung it.
Yeah.
The last time we sung it was here, I think. And that's been a while, but anyway.
My voice is not back to its original, so y'all just bear with us. But I just thank the Lord for saving me, and I'm able to do a little something for Him. We'll sing Father Along. We've been through so much, each and every one of us.
A little bit farther along.
We'll know one day. We're
going to hear the trumpet sound. Amen. When I hear that trumpet sound, my feet going to leave this ground. Amen.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wander. Why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father alone will know Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Father alone understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when He comes from home in the sky, then we shall meet Him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Ooh, we made it through. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of God today? Amen.
Yes.
I tell you, I don't know how long it'll take me this morning, and I don't know how short it'll take me, but I just want to praise the Lord. Amen. He's been good to me. He's been so good. Y'all want to try that little course? Okay. I think we have had an amen or two from this. What is this, a video? Is that what you call it?
Well, it's like, yeah, video chat. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
It's just
whatever.
Yeah, it ain't live. It's just the two of them.
It was, one of them was in tongues. It wasn't an unknown tongue because I understood it. All right. Are you ready? Do what?
He said, how are you?
What we need to do is we need to get on that new wire.
Amen. All right. I got a tickle now. I can't get it started. All right.
Smile a while and give your face a lift
your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a great big old smile. Amen. I love to see y'all sing that. So you smile and you raise your hands, and I tell you, it's good. It's good. The Lord's been good to us, and in fact, I think He's better than we deserve. It's always that, I know. But if you have your Bible, and I'm going to be using a lot of scriptures, you don't have to turn there, and I probably won't turn to all of them either. But I'm going to be using a lot of scriptures today. And again, I say it's good to be in God's house today. If you turn your Bible, first of all, to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. And I believe it's verse 22, if you will. We'll read it, and then we'll have prayer. And then we'll use another scripture for our text also. Okay? Isaiah 45, verse 22. Brother Bill said he left his Bible, so you got it now, right?
Well, it's in the car.
Well, it's in the car, okay. Well,
I picked up the
That's
paper.
Okay. Well, I was going to tell you, if after you find it, let's lift it up real high. You done found the scripture? All right. In Isaiah 45, verse 22, the Bible says this. Verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. We're so thankful, Lord, that you love us and you care for us. No one ever cared for you like you do, for us like you do, Lord. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your love, your mercy, your strength, your pardon, your all of this, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, that you would just help us as we try to break the bread of life to these your people. This morning, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless them. And help us and use us for your honor and your glory today, Lord. I pray for the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to be upon me and upon the service today, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless in a special way. If there's one here that needs a special touch, and it's me, if no one else, Lord, I pray that you'll give us that special touch this morning. Bless Brother Donnie, Sister Shelby, and Sister Christy. Lord, I pray that you'll just have you right away there, Lord. And Lord, everywhere that your name is being lifted today, have you right away. And bless us in a special way here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to go to Numbers now. The book of Numbers, chapter 21. And we want to read verse 4 down through verse 9. And you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'm going to read it for here. And verse 4 says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And you know, there's a lot of people that's discouraged today, isn't it? A lot of people. And a whole lot of them are taken the wrong way because of it. But verse 5 says, and the people spake against God and against Moses. And there's something else that he did wrong. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's something else. They started complaining. And then it says, for there is no bread, neither is any water. And my soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Isn't it wonderful that God is able to do all things? We're serving a great God today, are we not? We're serving an awesome God, one that loves us and one that cares for us. And I want to talk to you just a little while on the subject of fourfold the look. The fourfold look. Now, first of all, I'd like for us to take a look at the downward look. There's a lot of people today that's taking the downward look. We don't need to, except for that we need to just think about a few things this morning about the downward look. First of all, a lot of people take a downward look, and God gets a hold of their heart, and he convicts them of their sin, and they see that their sin is lost. One day, this would happen to me. I took that downward look. And when I took that downward look, God convicted me of my sin. I had to get up out of my seat and almost run to the altar because I knew that if I didn't at that time, there may be some circumstances that would happen that I might not want to happen. So I felt that I needed to be saved. And so I took a look, and I even not only took a downward look, but I took a look at hell. My friend, that hell is a literal place of burning fire. You can say what you want to, you can say what you think about hell, but I'm here to tell you that there is a literal hell. Your Bible tells us over there in Luke chapter 16, and it goes on to say that there's a rich man and it fares sumptuously every day. There was also a beggar that eat crumbs from the rich man's table. And when the rich man died and in hell, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now that word torment means a lot, because torment is not happiness at all, is it? No, sir, no, ma'am, it is not. But here's the hell is a lake of fire, and not only that, hell is real. It's real. You see, we don't want to go there, do we? I don't think any of us are. I look around and don't believe we are, and I don't think we are, but that's between you and the Lord. Amen? I can tell you about it, but that's the only thing I can do for you and pray. Now, we consider it here the full look from God's Word, those full looks that can transform our lives. You see, first of all, it is the downward look. Then we look at something else. We don't like to look at hell, and I know we don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. I'm here to tell you, sometimes you have to. And you have to think about it once in a while, too. Now, as we consider these four, this transforms our lives, or let's look at something else. There's that inward look. We have to take an inward look at ourselves once in a while, don't we? There's a mirror there, and the Bible says that the scriptures are a mirror in which we can get a true picture of ourselves. And the Bible tells us so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, that let a man examine himself. You see, this is what the psychologist calls introspection. That is a look of examination. We today, right here while we're in God's house, we need to take time today to take a look of examination. We need to examine ourselves. There's a lot of things that can be done differently if we would just take time to examine ourselves every once in a while. And this is being a good time right now. The scriptures being that mirror, the true picture of ourselves. In Romans chapter 1, we're going to stay in Romans for just a few minutes this morning. Romans, I love this book of Romans. And as we look at ourselves and we examine ourselves, you see, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, down to chapter 3, verse 8, and I'm not going to take time for y'all to look at these up, but if you want to, you can definitely write them down and look them up later on. But here's different kinds. There's three classes of men here that talks about in Romans chapter 1, 2, and it also goes on a little bit farther than that in Romans chapter 3. And then we have the description of three classes of men or women, whichever you want to say. Both, in other words. First of all, there's that renegade sinner, what you call him. You know what a renegade is, don't you? It's a rough person. And you see, the renegade sinner is rough, and nothing bothers him seemingly. But I'm telling you, if there's nothing to bother him here, there's something going to bother him there. And I guarantee you that upon the God, authority of God's word. But you see, the renegade sinner being rough and nothing bothering them, it seems that it doesn't. I see a lot of people in that way. They just seem like when you try to witness to them, they say they don't want to even hear it. I'm here to tell you one day they are going to hear it. And it's going to be too late then. But then we see not only the renegade sinner, but we also find in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 16, we see the good moral person. In other words, that is the respectable sinner. He'll respect you. So a whole lot of times he don't listen. He's, in other words, he's nice to you, but he will not listen a lot of times. But then not only is that, he's a good moral person, and there's a whole lot of good moral people that are going to go and die and go to hell. It's just as simple as that. And not only that, but we find in Romans chapter 2, verse 17, down to chapter 3, verse 8, there's that religious sinner. Religious. Can you imagine that religious sinner? He has a head knowledge, but he doesn't have a heart knowledge. There is a difference. And you see, you can die and go to hell with the head knowledge. But when you get it in your heart, and in your soul, and in your body, and in your life, then praise the Lord for it. You see, a religious person is worse of all sinners. The Bible has a lot to say about them, doesn't it? They're very religious. They worship God with the lip service. And they sing the songs of Zion, but they don't mean it. It's sad to be in that situation, isn't it? At one time, I was like that. And I know what I'm talking about. I used to sing, "It's just so sweet to trust in Jesus." And then I used to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But what do you call that? Hypocrites, right? There's a lot of hypocrites in this world, too. There's a whole lot of hypocrites that go to church and say they worship the Lord every service. But not only that, we sing Victory in Jesus. All of this. Why do we do that? We haven't got the heart knowledge yet. But we have the head knowledge, and we're here. It goes to the head, but it doesn't go 6 inches below that to the heart. This makes a whole lot of difference when you get it in your heart. When you get it in your heart, you can shout, you can praise the Lord, and all of these things, because you know why? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything's all right between you and the Lord. And when everything's all right between you and the Lord, it makes a very much of a difference. You see, they're religious. Worships are with lip service. They teach the doctrines of men in Matthew chapter 15. And they pray. Matthew 23 verse 14, it says they pray, they have a zeal. They observe works of righteousness. Their lives outward they are pure, but inside, what is it? Like dead man's bones in them. Isn't that what it says? All right, so we see then that they observe works of righteousness. Their lives outwardly are pure, yet they're defiled inside. And verse 27, verse 28 of Matthew 23 tells us that they're under condemnation. Verse 33, it talks about the servants, the generation of vipers, and how can we escape the damnation of hell? I can tell you how you can escape the damnation of hell is accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, meaning exactly what you're asking Him to do, and when you repent of your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of your sin. And He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Okay, let's go a little bit further in Romans. We find chapter 3, verses 9 through 20, it gives to us the divine summary of these three classes of people that I said was up here a little bit beforehand. So that is the inward look. Let's take a look this morning on the inward look. It would do us real good. Examine ourselves. All right, then, let's look at something else. All right, the text, one of the texts this morning, Isaiah 45, verse 22, yeah, that was the outward look. In other words, this is a look of faith. How are we saved? By grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? All right, let's take a look. This is an easy way, is it not? Salvation is easy for us. All we had to do is accept the Lord as our personal Savior. But it was hard. It was hard for Jesus, wasn't it? It cost God something for us to be saved. It cost God dearly. In John chapter 5, verse 24, but you know what? In John 14, verse 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." Well, that clock ain't even moving. Y'all need to put a battery in that thing. All right. It does not say, look to the church, does it? It says, look to Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So let's look to Him today. You say, "Well, why are you telling me all of this when I'm saved?" Well, do I know you're saved? I look at your testimony. Yes, I believe you are. Well, I can't say for sure, can I? You can't look at me and tell that I'm saved for sure. But it's one thing for sure that I know that I am myself. Amen. All right. So we see that you cannot look unto the church. There's sacraments that does not save you. There's ordinances that cannot save you. There's the preacher that cannot save you. As good a man and good preacher as Brother Donnie Mahan is, he cannot save you. He can tell you, but it has to go farther than that, and then you have to listen to that and let the Lord speak to you through that. Salvation is easy for us, though, isn't it? We have to look unto Christ. The Bible says he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Bible tells us to be ye saved, doesn't it? This is a certain way in John chapter 3, verse 36, and also in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. All right, so we need, first of all, to take that downward look. Secondly, we need to take that inward look. Thirdly, we need to take that outward look. And now, we need to take that upward look. Number four, that upward look. All right, this is a look of expectation. Amen. I'm expecting something from my salvation, aren't you? Absolutely so. Look in Philippians, if you will, chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 21. When we get there, I'll let you know for sure. Yep, that's it, right there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 21, the Bible tells us, for our conversation is in heaven. That conversation is in heaven, from whence we also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that word look again. Look for the Savior. Why would you look for the Savior? I'll tell you why. Because he's coming back again for you and I that are saved. Amen. All right, it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Our body hadn't been changed yet. You look at your body, you can see a lot of flaws, can't you? That it may be fashioned. Our vile body is going to be fashioned one day like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So one day, our body is going to be like unto him, isn't it? Going to be a perfect body, likened unto the Son of God. All right? Our citizenship is in heaven, isn't it? All right. Our citizenship is in heaven. All right. Let no man deceive you. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't it wonderful to know that? You see, we look for Christ our Savior. He's coming again. There's that word look again. And the reason is obvious that we should look for Christ our Savior. Why? Because we love him. Because he first loved us. Amen? All right. Let me look there right here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 down to verse 3, if you will, if you want to. Yes, it's pretty easy to find. You can look for it if you want to. And I'll give you a minute to do so while I wipe my mouth. All right, the reason is obvious and found in verse 21 there. We just read it. All right, now let's get on over to verse John chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 1 down to verse 3. You all found it? Raise your hand. Get in. All right. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man, that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Amen. That's the reason. All right. I like to say one other thing, and that is in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 down to verse 4, and also chapter 9, verse 14, it talks about the story of Naaman, the great general of the Syrian army. He was a great man with his master, a mighty man of valor. He was a national hero, but he was a leper. Now, what does that word leper mean? There was a true story there of men. As a leper, he was a type of the sinner. As leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. And as a leper, he, like the sinner, was unclean. He was an unawakened leper, like many awakened. He was an unawakened leper, not an unawakened, because he realized he was miserable in his conditions, so is a convicted sinner himself. He was willing to go far and do much to be cured in his own way. That's what was wrong. He was in his own way. He was dissatisfied with the remedy that was proposed. I'm telling you, he was treading on thin ice, wasn't he? And I'm here to tell you today that there are a lot of people that are treading on pure thin ice. It could happen any day now that Jesus Christ could step out. It's like Brother Bill was mentioning this morning. Just before service, he was talking about, if I understood you right, you was talking about the trumpet, right? Okay. The trumpet might sound any time now. It may even sound before we leave this service. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Naaman finally got himself right. God's way of salvation is by grace through faith, and strips the sinner of self-righteousness. It lays bare his wicked heart. It forces him to side with God and against himself. He was shut up to one remedy. It was to dip in the Jordan or die. But you know what? Sinner it is, believe or perishes. Others would plead with him, but would not dip for him. He submitted to God's way. And when he submitted to God's way, everything was all right with him. When the sinner will do what God bids him to do, he'll be saved, won't he? I can give you a whole lot of scriptures for that. John chapter 3, verse 14. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. Verse 31, verse 34. All of these. If you do what God says, then everything will be all right. And I'll close with that right there. That phrase right there. If you do what God says, everything will be all right. My markers, I like them sometimes, and sometimes I don't. But, you know, they get all out of whack. But anyway, I know that, as I said a while ago, that at least everybody here claims to be Christian. But let's examine ourselves this morning. And as we examine ourselves, a friend, it could be something in our lives that that is not pleasing to God. And if it is, then we need to get it right, because God soon might come just any time now. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together, even though it was short and stammering words, but Lord, I hope that it was to glorify you today. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll take each one of us and use us for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, for each one of us. Lord, we need your touch today, Lord. We need you to help us in every phase of life. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, I pray that you just be dear and near to us, Lord. Strengthen us in the faith. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless each one that's here today, Lord. And Lord, I pray that someone is Lord, just bowing their knees to you today and asking you to save for Christ's sake. Thank you for everything you do here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, brother, this is what we're going to sing here this morning. Amazing Grace, be all right? That suits me fine. You know, in your head, and I think that means that you'll be all right with that, okay? Okay, Amazing Grace. As I asked you last Sunday, I think you know it, most of it in a way. And while we sing this, if you feel led, as you know of someone that you need to pray for, if you need to pray for yourself, if you've got something going on in your life that's not pleasing to God, then you can come, okay? If God so leads you and convicts you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Don't ever be ashamed to go before God. There's something wrong in your life, something you need in your life, God's able. And He is the only one that's able to take care of it.
I see.
So don't be ashamed.
'Twas grace.
Just come down to this altar here. Don't ever be. Because that one time might be the last time as you get to pray.
Really,
we're leaving it up to you and the Lord. Would you come?
That grace appeared the hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Thank you very much.